text from 1 Kings today comes and tells us the story of the wicked King Ahab and his wickeder, was that a word? Wickeder? Queen Jezebel, having slain all the prophets of the Lord God Yahweh, but one, Elijah. Elijah is on the run, and this is what happens. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and now he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me, and more also, if I don't make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then Elijah was afraid, and he got up, and he fled for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came and he sat down under a solitary broom tree, and he asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." And he lay down under the broom tree and he fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." And he looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on a hot stone and a jar of water. And he ate and drank, and he lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." And he got up and he ate and he drank, and then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights of to Horeb, the mount of God. At that place he came to a cave, spent the night there. And then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." And he said, "Go and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by now." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting the mountains and breaking the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, sound of sheer silence, which incidentally we used to interpret as the still small voice, which beckoned us back to, thank you, Karen, the psalm of "Be still and know that I am God." And when Elijah heard that, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he answered, "I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." And then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram." Now, today we're going to talk about one of my favorite stories ever, the Gerasene demoniac. It comes to us from the 8th chapter of Luke, starting in the 26th verse. Then Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And as he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time, the man had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded unclean spirits to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now, there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran and told in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, get this, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to heal them? No, to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So Jesus got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with Jesus, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So let's talk for a minute about the characters in this story, because they are great. And first, we have to talk about the man who was possessed with demons. Now listen, we're not going to get into today whether or not demons are real, whether or not this was mental illness, whether or not whatever. This man was tormented, whatever was wrong with him. Okay? Really tormented, sickness. He didn't have a home. He couldn't even live in a house. He lived in the tombs. He wore no clothes. The people were afraid of him. And get this, he was so strong that if they bound him in chains, he would break them and run off. And some of you are looking and going, "That doesn't happen." Really? Read a police report sometime about somebody who's on PCP. They'll break their chains. Doctor's shaking her head yes at me. She knows. They'll break handcuffs. They'll break out of handcuffs. They'll rip doors off of cars. They have unimaginable strength. It sometimes takes as many as 3 and 4 officers to subdue somebody like that. We were trained how to deal with that when I was an EMT. People who are mentally ill sometimes have that kind of supernatural strength because their heads just aren't working right. They just can't get it all together. It's just like frenzied chaos going on. Do you have that song? The song that we started with today is Silence, Frenzied Spirit. But there's a second version of it that more accurately, musically tells us what a frenzied spirit feels like. Go. Thank you. Yeah, it gets a little polite at the end, but you can hear that, right? I mean, it almost sounds Halloween-y because it's just so, right? Imagine living with a mindset of that, the torment of that, right? So the man is in trouble. But you know what? Jesus is there, and the demons know right away that they're in trouble too. This is a great story. I love this story. The demons say, "Don't mess with us, Jesus." And Jesus goes, "Okay, I won't mess with you." And then Jesus messes with them. Because they say, "Send us to the pigs." And he goes, "Okay, I won't mess with you. I'll send you to the pigs." And he sends them on to the pigs. And guess what happens? The pigs jump in the water. Now, we miss this because we're 21st century Americans. But people reading this text and people who were there that day would have known. It was widely understood in the Middle East in that time. Demons couldn't survive water. Jesus was playing with them. They said, "Let us go to the pigs." He goes, "Okay, yeah, you can go to pigs." They go to the pigs and they go in the water, and that's the end of the demons. Jesus is smart. Right? Then you get third characters in this, the townspeople and the herdsmen. Townspeople, also great. They come back and they see this guy who's not been allowed to live with them because he's so crazy, so supernaturally strong, so frightening, sitting at the feet of Jesus, which is the place that a student would sit to learn from a teacher. Clothed, well kept. Hey, he may even have combed his hair and brushed his teeth in the time that they were gone. Looking good, listening to Jesus, attentive. Doctor can probably tell us this too. Sometimes when you have mentally ill people and you get them on the right medication, the change in them is like night and day. Right? They go from being this just wild thing to being perfectly tame, rational people. And that's what they saw. And what does the text say? Does the text say they rejoiced at the great news that the man was healthy again? No, they were terrified because they didn't know what to do. And then people start telling them, Jesus healed this guy. And do they rejoice then that Jesus is among them? Somebody with this kind of power is present with them? No. They were terrified. What were they terrified of? They were terrified of the fact that Jesus was really the Son of the Most High God and had the power to heal somebody who was that sick. Isn't this a good story? Right? Then finally, the man who is healed, we see. Man is almost like two different people in this story. There's the first vision of the man who is mentally ill and homeless, wandering naked in the tombs. And then there's the second version of the man who is in his right mind. Yeah, I said naked. wandering, who is in his right mind. He's sitting learning from Jesus. People look at him and know that something is different. And that man says to Jesus, "Let me go with you. Let me go with you so that I can be a witness right here with you when you're talking to people so that they can see, look, I was crazy and now I'm all together because Jesus really is the real deal. He's the guy he says he is. He's the Son of the Most High God. He can heal even me." And Jesus goes, "Yeah, that's a great idea." No, Jesus goes, "No. You stay here." Doesn't that seem weird? Why wouldn't Jesus want to take him along as an object lesson, just set him up and go, look what I did to this guy? Because if he stays where he is, the people who were so afraid of Jesus and Jesus' power will never forget what Jesus did. Those people who were terrified and in their terror wanted to forget all about Jesus will never be allowed to, because they have a constant reminder in their midst. You know somebody like this? Somebody, for example, who was a terrible alcoholic at one time in their life. When you saw the guy coming, you didn't know if he'd be sober or drunk. You were afraid to get in your car when he left here and got in the parking lot because you didn't know if he was going to run into you or not. And he walks in now, and you see him clear-eyed. His breath doesn't stink. Everything's good. And you can go, thank God we have AA here on Saturday nights to help people like that, because it works. That's why Jesus said to the man, stay here. So people have a constant reminder of my goodness. This text really has a lot to do with people's fears. The people fear the man who is mentally ill and homeless. The man feared the demons. The demons feared the pigs. The pigs feared the water. Then the people feared the power of Jesus. But finally, having met and been healed and saved by Jesus, the man had no fear of taking Jesus' name to the people. There is a sense in this text that Jesus' power is terrifying. The life of the crazy man was terrifying, but the power of Jesus is even more terrifying, as evidenced by the people who asked Jesus to leave their town and not come back. But having known Jesus, having met Jesus face to face, man has no more fear. You know, in Greek, the word for heal is also the word for save. Jesus healed this man. He also saved him at the same time. I remember when I was a kid, my mom was a teacher, and they wanted to get rid of all the specialty teachers. The music teacher, you know, we don't need music. The art teacher. My mom was a phys ed teacher, get rid of her. And they also wanted to get rid of things like the school nurse, cut back the cafeteria staff to one lady with a peanut butter sandwich. And I remember hearing my mom at a school board meeting say, we can't teach sick children. We have to have a nurse. We have to feed them. We have to clothe them. We have to care for them. Church, we can't save anybody. Jesus is our Savior. We don't have to be the Savior. We already have one. But we can't even bring salvation to people who are homeless and mentally ill and sick and hungry if we don't offer them some healing first. And here's the thing, see? Jesus makes it possible for us to be a visible presence to our community, saying, here we stand in the healing power of Jesus, in the saving power of Jesus, in the redeeming love of Jesus, ready to reach out to you. And nobody needs to be afraid of that. Fear not, beloved. For Jesus heals and saves.